Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners, and welcome to Morning for the Mansion, the Men's Edition. Good morning, Facebook, YouTube. Welcome to the Men's Edition, Monday morning, the 12th of April. Yeah, my name's Ed Swarovski. Edward Swarovski, Eddie Swarovski, whatever. Many know me by different names, but it's Edward Swarovski. And good morning, and I'm happy to have you with me. Today, we're going to be talking about, it's no surprise, but we're back on God's Plan for Unity, Part 11. That's right, Part 11. I've never done something this long on the show, 11. So we're talking like maybe, 3 months worth of shows. And I'll tell you something. If you took the time to read into God's Plan for Unity, knowing God and knowing why Jesus came, you would realize that the Bible is full of scriptures that suggest that we are united to, as people, as the church, as the body, but we're also, as children, united back onto God through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. So that God so loved the world, He sent His Son. Why? To get the sin out of the way, so sin separates from God, and to reunite us back to the Creator. God wanted to be reunited with His creation. He wanted that fellowship with us. And originally in the Garden of Eden, that God had fellowship with His creation, Adam. He walked with Adam every day until sin got in the middle of it. So in any event, unity is critical. Now, we as the church, we sort of bypassed the whole message of unity, this message of reconciliation, this message of forgiveness, this message of mercy, and this message of grace, God's grace upon our lives. Even though we deserve death, He chose. God chose, just as we can choose life or death. God chose to give us that choice. God chose to give us a choice. Choose Him. So that's what it's all about. The gospel is coming back to God and bringing as many people with us. That's what unity is. And I know a lot of people out there, you talk to, and I was one, well, I am the church. I am not the church. I hate to break the news to myself and anyone listening. You are not the church. We are the church. Community is the church. There's no church with one. Jesus is the head. We are the church. There's no church without we. It's more than one. It's many. It's as many as we can bring into the fold. And that's what it's all about. We see many parables about the sheepfold. I don't know. I've never personally been around a flock of sheep or sheepfold, but I know there's many. So we're a member of a church. Once we receive Christ into our heart, boom, we're born again. Our sins are forgiven, and we are reunited back on to the Father, the Creator of the heavens and earth, through Jesus Christ, through faith by Jesus Christ. So this is how it works. So now, we've been talking about the unity for 11 weeks now. And I've come to realize it really changed my walk. It's really changed my life. I thought I knew the Bible. I thought I knew about the gospel. And I thought I knew God's plans for things. Until I started digging into this unity message. I will tell you, I never anticipated this long. And I'm going to be studying it for some time now. And I suggest the same because I can't go 2 or 3 pages in the New Testament for sure without finding a scripture that suggests God wants us united back to Him and with each other. And the same thing in the Old Testament. A lot of it is prophesied in the Old Testament. We'll talk a little bit about that today. One of the scriptures in Daniel. So here's the thing. I say that we need to consider, and then we need to follow what God has called. We need to contemplate and consider that, because it all starts with a thought. And a thought dwelled upon will lead to an action. And an action carried out more than once or twice will create a pattern or a habit. And a habit full grown as we keep walking in it and staying steadfast becomes our character. Our character is what God's after. God wants to develop our character. Okay, and one of the greatest ways, and not just me or you, it's everyone out there, the ones that don't even know Him, He's after them even just as much because He wants to pull them back in. See, this is the free gift of salvation. This is what Jesus Christ came for, to tear down the walls, to conquer this death and sin, and give us an opportunity to come back to God and go out there and bring others. So here's the thing. We know that we are the church, right? We are the church. We make up the body. What are we doing? How are we walking out our salvation? It tells us in Philippians 1, verse 6, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. How do we demonstrate we're truly working out our salvation? I believe one of the greatest ways is to lead others to salvation. Let's go out there and talk about this to others. Let's not just keep this a secret. This was the great mystery until Jesus came, but he wanted to share this with us, to go out and bring others back in. And it's very, very critical. This is the basis of our faith, our walk, okay? Our walk, working out our salvation, our walk with God, will include doing things, acting on God's behalf. Jesus left to go with the Father, but greater works will be done through us, he says. He wants to live in us, but he also wants to work through us. And we get to the part where he lives in us, and we start living a good life, and we start, you know, stop doing the things we once done. We control our flesh. But now, what's going on? How are we being stewards of the things God's given us? A lot of people think that's all about money, which, of course, is about money. God wants us to be good stewards of what he blesses with us. But the greatest blessing beyond money or fame, fortune, and all these material things is the salvation, the blessing of salvation that he's put upon your life, the call that you answered that Jesus Christ is Lord. So now we need to be motivated to tell the others to go out. See the shirt today? Lost. Someone is searching for you. And that's in Luke 19. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save all that which was lost. All right, so if Jesus done it, the chances are, and absolutely, that we're to do it. We're to be imitators of God, okay, and Jesus Christ, what he done. So there's lost. And he says right here, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save which was lost. So Jesus came for which was lost. He didn't come for the ones who think they're righteous. He came for the sinners. And sometimes you go after the sinners. We have to go to different places. We have to find them. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be in a club. You don't have to be in the back alley. You don't have to hang around in the crack house to find a sinner. They're all over, including in the church. So here's the thing. Well, you don't have to go too much, but be willing. God wants to use all vessels right now in the same time. He wants to come in. He wants to be in you and work through you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to operate. He wants to bring others that he loves. He loved you and me so much, he sent his Son. He died. We accepted salvation. We accepted. Now we have to go bring others. This is the truth. And this is something it's to build the church. I'm going to pray for us this morning and all that are watching. And I praise you, Lord, today, Jesus, for all of what you've done. And I thank you, Lord, for the message that you put on my heart. Lord, and I pray that nobody here has come to watch me or see me or listen to me, but they've come to hear your words, Lord, and what you put before me, Lord. I prepared the scriptures, but you just bring in the message, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, that anyone out there that is watching today, that you light a fire on them, Lord. You light a fire on them. They fan that flame that is in you put in their heart, Lord, that they get a burning desire to go out and reach others, Lord, to go after souls, Lord. This is the fundamentals of our faith, our walk. The fundamentals are to build upon you and to go out and bring others so they can build upon you, Lord. You are the Almighty Jesus Christ, that you come and died in place of our sin, Lord. And we honor you, Lord. We honor you that you took our death penalty, because we all deserve to die. But you brought us life. And not only just life, but life more abundantly. And I thank you, Christ, for that. I pray that these seeds will fall on the hearts that are postured to receive, Lord, and they will grow and bring in a harvest, 10, 20, 50, 1,000 fold. And I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. To Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. If anyone out there watching, got a prayer request, you can put it up on the Facebook screen. If you're listening on the blog radio, you could call, I guess. I don't know. There's a number. It's 646-668-2247. And thanks for watching again. So here it is, God's plan for unity. And then this one's subtitled, Get Involved. And here's the thing, a lot of us may know, and we just maybe something might say, oh, I just come to Christ, Eddie, I don't know anything. Okay, that's fine. So did I. We all just came to Christ. We all knew born in the faith. But now it's important that we get involved. Well, how do we start getting involved? We start finding the church and join. We find people that are of like mind. See, when I was running in the streets, I looked for people that were doing the same things I was doing, the same drugs I was using, the same things I was trying to do, the schemes that I was trying to pull off on people. I'd create unity through the evil that was in my heart. But now that the Lord has come in and I've confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, but he's also my master, which I follow him now. Now I follow him. I deny myself. So now what I do is I look at people that are looking, and I've searched from the very beginning, the second they let me out of jail, and Jesus is with my heart, I searched for the people, but I couldn't find them. There was all the Christians. I didn't even know about church. I grew up in a large denomination. There was no fellowship on it, and I'll see you next Sunday. Okay, but now, what I come to realize is God has put in my heart. It didn't come from human wisdom or training. It didn't come from me opening the Bible. So I didn't even open the Bible yet, but it came on my heart that I'm going to go find that. If I can't find somebody to help me or to get involved or teach me, just create a community. I yearned for community. I was one from released from jail. I yearned for community. I got on a bicycle and rode around. I yearned for this unity. Where are all the Christians during the week? I don't know where to find you on a Sunday between 10 and 12 in the morning, but I couldn't find you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I had questions. I needed answers. And I drove around. Something came wrong. I just decided to start developing and creating the community. I knew enough to know that Jesus Christ, he's not, you know, a God. God does not pick favorites. He wants to get us all back. And so I started meeting other people to the Lord, going around, finding them, meeting them, and then coming back and fellowshipping with them. That's how much of a desire God put in my heart for fellowship and unity. I had to go meet other people to the Lord to create this fellowship and unity. And that's just the beginning of the story. But eventually, of course, the Lord led me to the church. He led me to the other people that were doing outreach, and I got hooked up with a group called Revive Texas, and then that's where it all just went boom. Okay, I've come to know, they helped me, they trained me, they taught me, they walked with me, they loved me. And that's all it's all about. So here's what we're going to talk about getting involved. See, getting involved is important. See, faith without good deeds is dead, right? That's what it says in the book of James. So if we're not doing something about what we're feeling, is it real? Are we truly convinced? Are you truly convinced Jesus Christ is Lord? Am I truly convinced? Is the church truly convinced? Because if we are truly convinced in our heart, without a shadow of a doubt, that Christ is coming back, and he's coming back for his church, and he's coming back for the ones that received him and confessed him, and he's also going to stand before him, and he's going to reward us for the good and the not so good that we've done. Okay, and we're going to talk about this today, because here's what it says in Matthew. We need to pray as a church unified, one body, one hope, one Lord Jesus Christ, one Father who is in heaven. He's in all and of all. This is all it is. We need to come into this. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew. And we all heard, well, I can't say we all heard it, but I've read it before, and I know this one. And here it is. Jesus knew their thoughts. And any kingdom divided is doomed. All right? And a family that's split apart will fall apart. Okay. And if Satan is casting out Satan, is he divided and fighting against himself? His own kingdom will not survive. And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your own exes? He's talking to the Pharisees. They said, you're casting demons, but you must be of Satan. But they're responding to you. No, he said. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Jesus said, here it is. If I'm casting out demons, don't you realize that John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He came, he was the voice of the darkness. He sort of led the way for Jesus And then Jesus came and he said, look, I'm here. He basically said, I'm here. So if I'm casting out demons in the power of God, how are you going to debate that? How are you going to tell me I'm doing it in the name of Satan? That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. He said, be careful. Okay. Now here's what I want you to pay attention for. Who is powerful enough to enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods? Who? Only someone even stronger, it says. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder the house. Wow. There it is. Okay, so check this out. Jesus Christ came. He came to plunder. He came to plunder the spoils of the devil and the kingdom of darkness. Jesus basically says, I come to bind this man up. I've come to bind Satan. I've come to bind him up. So you, as I bind him, now you're free to plunder into the spoils of his kingdom. Because he held us all in darkness. He held us all captive through sin. And now we have the opportunity. Jesus Christ is back. He came. And he says, you know, here's what it says in Matthew 11. And I really didn't understand the scripture for a long time. But as I read this right here, it made a lot of sense to me. Maybe a lot of you were the same. In Matthew 11, 12, it says, and from the time of John the Baptist, when he began preaching, until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and the violent people are attacking it. All right. So, when I read this, I realized this, and I said to myself, wow, you know what? This is what he's talking about. So here it is. Jesus came for the kingdom of God, because John the Baptist was preaching, until now, and he came, and he had binded the devil. We've got authority now. He's given us his name over the demons. So now what are we going to do about it? We have the opportunity. We have the power to go out through Christ, through his name, to go out and preach the gospel to whoever that we want to preach to. And we have the authority and the power through Christ in his name to bring others in to the kingdom. There's no law against that. There's no law against telling people about God. And he loves us? No, he wants us. Because we know that it's not God's will that any man should perish, or woman. So now, what are we going to do about it? So here's the thing. So now, only someone stronger to go and tie him up and plunder his house. Anyone who is not with me is against me. And who is not gathering is scattering. This is what I really blew my mind. I read this a bunch, but now I've come to realize the part about... And it's in Matthew, it's in Luke, and it's in Mark. All three of these biblical accounts, and all three of the four Gospels. And it talks about a house divided. All right. A house divided will never overcome. No kingdom can endure if it's divided against itself. But Jesus also said, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of heaven, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that's what that leads me to believe, because this is what it means. Jesus already won the war. He's better. Now, which side are you on? Because if you're not with me, you're against me. Jesus' kingdom and the kingdom of God will advance. It will advance through force and power and might. Okay, Christ is coming back. He's not coming back as a sacrificial lamb. He's coming back this time as the lion of Judah, with a rod, a sword in his tongue, with fire in his eyes. And he's coming back in to make everything right. And this is what we need to be prepared for. We need to prepare the people. We need to prepare the souls. We need to bring people into the fold. That's what we need to do, bring people back into the fold. God sent Jesus, the shepherd, his creation back onto him. And we're going to get into all that. I mean, this is the underlying theme of everything I've been studying for the last 3 months. But then I come to realize everything I've been studying for the last 3 years, God has revealed to me as I sort it out, as I seek it. Because once we seek these things, God has no choice in it. It's his good pleasure to bless us with this wisdom and understanding. So if you say to yourself, well, Eddie, I'm not feeling the unity. Of course you're not feeling unity. You know why? Because you're not seeking it. Because you know what? If I'm hungry, I got to go seek out a hamburger. A hamburger ain't just going to fall out of the sky. No, we have to seek the things we want and desire. Okay, so if I desire something, I got to seek it. There's no law against being united with the church. Well, lady, not everybody's going to be saved. Yeah, exactly. Guess what? But it's our opportunity to make the point to go out there and give them a chance. We can't just say, well, not everybody's going to be saved. God knows what he's doing. God does know what he's doing. That's the truth. And not everyone's going to be saved. That's the truth. But it's the attitude towards it and how you approach that whole premise of that doctrine. Not everyone's going to be saved. But you know what? God told me to be the soul, to be the light in the world. Now I got to go out and I feel a burden in my heart, in my spirit, to go out and lead people, tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's done good. I'm standing here before you. I should have been dead and in hell, but I'm here right now to tell you that Jesus Christ is good. Only by the grace of God I can even do this. So that's what I'm saying. Well, anyone out there that's saying, man, I don't know what you're talking about, Eddie. I've been saved for 20 years. I'm living good. I got a job. They've been late on my rent. My kids are getting straight A's in school. I even got an obedient dog that rolls over and plays fetch with me. My life is perfect. I don't know. How much do you love God? But that's what also the Bible says. But you lost your first love. You think you're rich and don't need anything, but you're really poor naked. And you're confused. You don't have these things that you should be having. It's the relationship with God. It's the love of God that's going to go out there and give you the fire to go out there and bring people into the fold. And here's what it said. I'm going back into this. In Matthew. Anyone who opposes me is against me. Okay. He who is not with me, this is in Matthew, anyone who isn't with me opposing me, anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Here's what it says in Luke. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me truly scatters. And here's what it says over here. The same thing. Anyone who does not gather scatters. So Mark, Luke, and Matthew all say the same thing. And they made sure that point was there. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever is not gathering the spoils is actually scattering. So here's the thing. There's no neutral. Well, Eddie, I believe God called me to a different ministry. I'm sure he did. But guess what? None of us are exempt from being a witness. None of us are exempt from reaching out. When we recognize a lost sheep, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an evangelist. I'm going to have to call my friend that knows somebody that goes and does an outreach once a month on a Tuesday evening and sometimes on a Saturday. Let me call them and get them over here real quick. Let me tell you something. You have lost your opportunity. We don't always have a chance to go back at that person. We don't know. We don't know. There's times that I've been driving and the Lord put in my heart to say something. And I drove right by, and I should have stopped. But I made a U-turn because the Lord pressed upon me. I went back because I knew if I didn't reach out now, I may never have a chance to speak again to that person. And I'll tell you something. Maybe his soul was lost. And guess what? I don't know. Don't know. But God knows. So I'm not going to miss an opportunity. And I pray that anyone out there watching will have that same desire. And I pray, Lord, you bring. It doesn't matter if they're listening on the radio. It don't matter if they're watching it live on the Facebook or the YouTube board. I don't care, but Lord, let these words go forth. Let them penetrate the hearts of those listening. Allow them to get that burden. That burden, that fire to lead other people to you, Lord. So here it is. We are not gathering, we're scattering. And that's for all of us. Don't you realize the early church? I don't even know. When they designated titles or anything like that, I don't know, but we read about it. There's nothing wrong with these designations because the Bible does speak of it. Teacher, preacher, pastor, evangelist, you know, all of that. The apostle, the prophet, all these are real. Though, every one of them, including the not just the evangelist, not just the pastor, the preacher, every one of them, even the one that does the health ministry, mowing the lawn, we are called to talk. When God tells us to talk, he gave us his tongue. Let's speak. Let's speak about Jesus Christ. Let's edify and build instead of tear down and destroy. It's time, church, to come together, rise up, and go out and bring others in because we don't have enough strength in our bodies, in our flesh. okay? Sometimes the ones that are doing the work out there, the ones that are laboring for the Lord. And I've been one of them, and I've had that thing, Lord, where are they? I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm weary, Lord, where are they? I know you're going to, you know, renew my strength as those of an eagle, put wings on my back, and I'm going to run, and I shall not grow tired or weary. We know those scriptures in Isaiah 40, but here's the thing, Lord, where are they now? So here's the thing, you know what? Go out and hire them, right? Yeah, you say, what does that mean, Eddie? Well, guess what? Commission them. The Great Commission. Jesus said, go get them. Go get them, bring them back to me. So you know what? If you're tired and weary and you have no strength to keep serving, then go out and commission others to serve with you. Okay, lead them to the Lord. Tell them how good God is. Pull them under the wing, whatever you want to say, and walk with them. But that's what we're called to do, walk with them. And then show them the things that God showed you to do. Then all of a sudden, wow, just like Paul did with Timothy and Apollos and many others. Don't you understand? That's the function of our faith. That's how we grow people into the Lord. We get them off the milk. Now they're on the meat, and they're running out and doing great things. David Wilkerson, that movie, The Cross and the Switchblade, that's one of the first movies I watched. I guess a Christian movie when I first got saved. And David Wilkerson was an amazing man of God. Rest his soul. He went out, went to Harlem, and he brought in some of the most wicked and dangerous criminals. He was in Spanish Harlem dealing with the gangs. Okay, he brought in many others, and all of them that he brought in, two in particular, they started this thing called Teen Challenge 50 years ago, maybe. So guess what? One man went and got a few people saved, and they got together, and from that seed, it grew not just a tree, but it grew a forest, and it's been bearing fruit ever since for 50 years. I visited with them 2 weeks ago. There's a great program. They got men, they not just teens, but adults too. They're sitting there, they're being kept, they're coming in off the street, they're getting in a safe environment, which is full of God, full of the Holy Spirit. They're not out there running the streets anymore, lost, wondering if they're going to make it today because they love God, but they also are struggling with the drugs and the alcohol. If they run into the wrong person, they're going to fall. No, it's our job to walk with them, bring them in. And again, we need to do this. And I know the Lord has put in my heart. I don't talk much about it, but I will right now. We're going to be developing a property for the Lord, all in Jesus' name, which will do the same. Which will do the same. We're going to be able to go and reach them and then bring them in if they need a place to live and a food to eat and clothes to wear. But that's what God told us in Isaiah. The fast he desires is to feed the hungry, a home with the homeless, and give clothes to the naked. So there it is. So these are the things that are called for. Plus prayer and laying of hands and teaching and all this other stuff. This all comes into the picture. So here it is. So when I read all three of these, you know, a kingdom divided is doomed. It all says the same thing. In Mark, Luke, and Matthew. Okay. But they sort of end in different ways. And here's what it says in Matthew. A tree is identified by its fruit. If the tree is good, the fruit will be good. If the tree is bad, the tree will be bad. The fruit will be bad. He goes, you brood of snakes. How could even men like you speak what is good and right? Well, whatever's in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What's a treasury? It's like, it's almost like a bank account. But when they're talking about it, the word there could be, it's a chest. Okay, it's like a chamber to store your goods, your gold, your silver, and all that. Back then they didn't have bank accounts, okay? But your treasury was where you stored all your valuables, your pearls, your diamonds, your gold, your silver, your bronze, whatever was good, you put, you know, whatever was valuable to you, let's say that, not good, whatever was valuable to you, you put in your treasury, whether it be anything, okay? So now the heart is a treasury. The heart is filled with things. This is what Jesus and the gospel and the Lord, he don't get on our back about it. Whatever, he'll give us the desires of our heart. If we refuse the desires that he gives us, He'll turn us over to our own desires, which happen to be wicked. That's what the Bible says in Romans 1 and 2. So here it is. What is in your heart? Because that's where your treasure is, right? Where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. So here's the thing. Everything is bought and sold in the heart. Life, everlasting, is in your heart. Or doom and destruction is in your heart. So here's the thing. It's your treasury. The heart is hungry. How are we feeding it? The heart is hungry. You're going to feed it something. We can feed it a good thing to God, or we can feed it the wicked thing to this world. So we need to make a choice there. So here's the thing. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The word you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So here it is. What are you speaking when you're in the Walmart? What are you speaking when you're waiting in line at the supermarket or the Sam's Club? Well, here it is. I could stand in a line at the Walmart or over at the Whataburger waiting for trying to pour my lunch, and I could have a conversation about the politics and the ruins and the misery of this world and how everybody's messed up. I could have that conversation. But what's coming out of my mouth? This is nothing productive, nothing building up. This is all stuff carrying down. Now, I could be in the same line and have a different conversation. You know, I don't know, man, but I've just felt a burden on my heart. So I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him in your heart? Have you accepted him? You can't ask a greater question than that to anybody on the history of the world. The greatest question any one person may ask another is, do you know, have you received Christ? Do you know Christ? Does Christ know you? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Most powerful question, the most important question we have to ask. So we need to ask it. How many times a week do you ask it? How many times a day do you ask it? How many times an hour do you ask it? I don't know. But I know one thing. It's important. So here's the thing. And, you know, when you go to Luke in that same thing, after it says a kingdom divided, here's what he says after that in Luke. It says, it's funny, they were in the crowd, you know, and they cast out the demons, and a woman screamed out, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. She screams out to Jesus. And Jesus replies, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Keep it and do it. Keep it. Keep the word in your heart. Keep the word in your heart, then you will do it. But if you're not keeping the word in your heart, then it's hard to read. That God gave us in the heart, the treasury, it's hungry. It's a hungry heart. Now, what are you feeding it? So here's what is amazing with in Luke, the account with the same thing in Matthew and Mark. But in Luke, he ends it with, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Keep it in your heart. Protect it. So we need to keep these things. Here's the thing. From the good treasure of your heart will produce good fruit. You got to keep it in your heart and allow it to manifest into the natural. It's a spiritual thing. It comes into the heart. It sits there. It's seeded. Now it's in your heart. Now all of a sudden it's watered and it grows. And when it grows, it comes to full maturity. And then you're going out and with people, Jesus Christ, Lord. And then they're coming back in. So that's what we need to do. And here's what it says in Mark, how he ends the whole thing there, this parable. Then Jesus' mother and his brother stood outside, sent the message to him, and asked him to come out and speak. So Jesus' mother showed up to where he was after he cast out those demons and said, hey, you know, I want to speak to you, son. And this is how Jesus replied, who is my true mother and brother? And he looked in the eyes of those sitting in the circle and said, here are my true family members, my mother and my brother. For only whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother. So here it is. Jesus knew. He wasn't looking in the flesh. He knew the flesh was temporary. He knew the flesh was going to get pounded out back into the ground. But here's the thing. While we're in the flesh, the greatest thing we can do, because the flesh, there's nothing good in the flesh. But if we speak the word of God and lead other people to Jesus, then there's good coming from it. The good treasure of our heart. The heart is our spirit, our soul. Okay, these are things that we don't necessarily see. But when the words are coming out of our mouth to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, come to know him, and I walk with you. Let me show you how, because I learned. Let me show you how. That's the most powerful thing we can do for God and for others, because it ain't about me. It's not about you. It's about them. So if we truly believe that Christ is Lord, and we are convinced without a doubt, he's in our heart. Why are we sitting around? So here it is. Remember that whoever does the will of my father's, my mother, my brother, my son, my cousin, my aunt, those, we're all in the same family. Don't you want a larger family? Let's go out and reach more people. More than that, blessed are the ones who hear God's word and keep it. And then from a person who produces good things from the treasury of the heart, and then from the treasury of the heart, you can also produce evil. So there's a variable. There's a choice. You want to produce good fruit or you want to produce bad fruit? You want to build or do you want to tear? Because we got a lot of expert demolition people out there, especially in the church. Okay, we got many demolition people out there. It's so easy to destroy. It's so easy to destroy, but it's so hard to build. But there's much more satisfaction in building than tearing down. So here's what we need to know. You know, the World Trade Center, okay, they started building in 1966. They stopped the 2000 built in 1972 to build the rest. It took another 5 more years. It was like 8 buildings, I guess, in the World Trade Center. But guess what? It took 6 years to build those towers. But I witnessed with my own very eyes that what took 6 years and over 25,000 people to build came down in less than 2 minutes. Okay? Came down in 2 minutes. And I watched. It took 45 seconds, I think, those buildings to implode. But it was less than two hours from when the first thing hit, the first tower fell. Okay, so here it is. 6 years and all that, those labors to build it. But when the wicked comes in, it destroys it very quickly. I mean, tornadoes that pass through in what, 5 minutes? I don't know. But they tear down houses and communities. It took years to build. So we know that it's easy to tear down. But it's a little bit harder to build, but it's a little more satisfying. Everybody's got a million and one ways to tear you down. But there's only one way to build you up and edify you, and that's through Christ. That's Christ in you. Letting Christ in you touch others. So is Christ truly in us? Is Christ truly in me? Is Christ truly in you? If so, let him reach out to others. He wants to use you as a vessel of honor. There's no greater gift in the world than the gift of salvation. That free gift is no greater in the history of time and humanity and everything. There's nothing greater. So now, let Christ extend this invitation to you through his Holy Spirit. But Eddie, I'm not sure. What are you not sure about? I don't know. I just don't know what to say and how to say. You know what? It ain't about how much you know. It has nothing to do with never doing it. It's how much you care. Okay? Because you got doubt in your heart, just like I had doubt in my heart. I have doubt in my heart every day. I wonder if I should speak that first and put in the restaurant. I wonder if I should pull over and talk to those ladies selling Easter baskets. This one guy sitting by himself in the Mexican restaurant, should I say something? That man that pulled next to me in the car wash, and he's something that just ain't right. Should I open my mouth? Because guess what? If you think about it too long, that spirit of fear will come upon you, and the devil's going to try to wipe it out. Say, oh, well, don't worry. Another person will come and speak to them. He'll be all right. That's not true. The Bible doesn't say that. We need to work while it's still daylight, because darkness are coming. We want more of them to work. Jesus Christ is saying, now is the time of salvation. Don't wait. You don't know. You don't know if it's going to be a tomorrow for this person. I was just at a funeral to a man this weekend, Josh Freeman, and we honor you, Joshua Freeman, for what you've done in your ministry and your life, Lord. We pray, Lord, that, you know, that his family and all of them that know him and love him can not only remember him, but remember the good he's done for you. Even though he had struggles, it don't matter. But he was an example of unwavering goodness and love and caring for the people in the street and doing things that most people would. And it's a great loss, and you'll be greatly missed, Josh Freeman. And I pray God has to send at least 10 more to pick up where you left off, because if you were out there, I know this. I was with you at times. And so here's the thing. We need to go out there and tell other people, because here's what it is. So we want to tear down real quick. We're quick to tear down. Tell somebody, you fool, you drunkard, you on the corner, you drunkard, get a life. Oh, you don't realize how messed up they are. They told that to Jesus. If Jesus, if you only knew the type of woman that was washing your feet and crying and wiping you with your hair, washing you with her tears, you wouldn't let her do it. No, Jesus said, no. All right, here's what it says, 2 Corinthians. Because this is important. This is going to bring it all in. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. 2 Corinthians 5. And we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. So we're going to receive what is good and what is evil. Wow. Picture that. What is good, what is evil? God, he's not saying you've been saved or condemned or anything. God, you will stand before God, even the church. The church won't be there first. So we need to know that there's going to be a time. Okay, because, and this is Paul writing, because the Apostle Paul, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope that you know this too. So he's telling people. You know why he's pleading with people? Because he's got a whole place, a whole city, the city of Corinth. I don't know how many people, but this man is in there with a few other people shepherding the whole town, a bunch of Gentiles, leading them and teaching them about Jesus Christ. And now he cares so much. He's trying to keep them from error and going astray. We work hard to persuade others, and God knows we are sincere. And I hope you know this too. We are not commending ourselves to you again. No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you could answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. Ooh, that's not for today. I'm encouraging you to go out and do things. But yes, we have to be careful of people, the wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, so look, Paul was saying, look, here's the thing. I don't care what everyone told you. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth that Jesus Christ died for. But here it is. People run around saying, look what I'm doing for God. I hate to break the news to you. I know that the Holy Spirit will break the news to me back in the day and convict me. God didn't need me. He wanted me to need me. And if I didn't do the things that he called and put on my heart to do, I assure you someone else will come and done. God will not be denied. His will shall be done, regardless of who does it. But the pleasure is he wants to call me into this, to participate in his good, his greatness, his righteousness, his glory, his love. Not for the glory of man, but for the glory of God. So here it is. If it seems that we are crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if it seems we're out of our mind, we are in our right mind, it's for your benefit. But either way, Christ's love controls or compels us. So that word, synecho, it's a word which it basically means giving you no choice. So basically, either way, God's love compelled Paul to tell others about Jesus Christ. Okay. So what happened with Paul? He got knocked off his horse on his way to persecute the church. Christ knocked him off his horse, and his majesty blinded him. He knocked him off the horse. So now, God restored his sight. Jesus Christ, he sent him to a man and said, he'll restore his sight. But now follow me. And why you persecute me? So here's the thing. Many of us come to know of Jesus, but we're still riding on our high horse. God wants, man, I had to get knocked down before and broken and realize I was nothing. I was lost. I was confused. I had more questions than I had answers, and I was heading in the wrong direction. But God came into my life, filled me with the Holy Spirit, with love, and then, boom, restored me. Okay, so that's the thing. You can't be a proud Christian, run around helping others, look at what I'm doing, but that don't work. That spectacular ministry you're building isn't going to work. If God's not involved, it doesn't matter. I'd rather have God involved with one that, and my ministry be one, than be a million and God's not there, because it's fake. It's fake, it's false. And if God's not there, there's no power. You might be talking with persuasive words. You might see these eye candy people going, hallelujah. You touch them on the head, they fall backwards. None of that stuff matters. It matters what's in your heart. The greatest things that God blesses with is no one can see or hear in the natural, but we can feel it in the supernatural, in the spirit. The wind comes, but no one knows where it comes from or where it goes. But I tell you right now, unless a man is born again, he will never receive the kingdom of God. Look, I don't look in the mirror and say, ooh, how you doing? Look at me. I look different. I smell different. I speak different. Look, I've changed. But if you took a picture of me and put it next to a picture of me 5 years ago, you probably wouldn't see it, an actual change in my face and my demeanor. But the fact of the matter is, the world don't see it. But God sees it, and he's doing it. So here's the thing. Love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have died to our old self, our old life. So here it is, real simple. I say it all the time. If you believe Christ died in your place for you, do you think that we might want to live for him? I can say it again, because this is important. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ died for you, for me, do you believe that you should dedicate your life to him? Well, Eddie, we're saved by grace, not by works. But this faith that rises up in you, that faith that moves the mountain, the faith that you need, because you can't please God without faith. Is it truly in you? Is that religion in you? Is that faith in you? Is that commitment in you? Because if you're not doing something, I ask myself every day, do I truly believe Christ is Lord? Do I believe he rose on the third day? And he shed every ounce of blood and drop of blood for not only my sins, but the sins of the enemy and the world? And if that answer, are you convinced? Forget faith and hope and this and this. That's important, faith and hope. But are you truly convinced in your heart? Then he's going to do something about it. But this is such a great thing. See, God fills our heart with love. Not how much you know, it never was, it's how much you care. You know, it's about who you know, too. You say, well, I got everyone people. That's what, I'm not talking about the world. It's who you know. The one, the only one you need to know is Christ Jesus. And then he will bring you, and if you're walking with the Lord, put you into fellowship, and he's going to even put you into situations where he wants you to speak on his behalf. Okay, we're going to get into this. So, look, we no longer live for ourselves. Instead, we live for Christ, who died for us and was raised. All right. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. There you go. We got to stop looking at people in the natural. Well, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I would preach the word of God to him, but he's a crackhead anyway. He might rob my wallet. But when I'm preaching to him, who cares? God will give you the wallet back. Don't you mean something? God came for a sinner. I'm not going to the church and evangelizing, even though I feel there's more evangelism opportunity in the church. Me walking on a Sunday morning, going down the pews and asking if you know Jesus Christ in your heart, I probably got more opportunity inside the church walls to evangelize. But guess what? God didn't tell me to do that. But those people think they're righteous. They think they're saved. And many of them are. Maybe some of them aren't. I don't know. But here's the point I'm making. The ones outside the church absolutely are lost. The ones that are inside the church, they believe that they've already found the Lord and they're doing his business. So I'm not going to mess with that. I'm going to tell you about the people that don't know God for sure or not living for God. So let's go on to talk to him, because here's what it says. We got to stop evaluating people by what we see. Okay, that's what it's basically saying. All right, look, God will give you discernment. I pray right now that God, all that are watching, will get the discernment, the spiritual discernment, that they will stop looking at the flesh and the skin and the hair and the clothes. They will see right into the spirit, Lord, and realize they're in shackles. When you start looking at people, you start seeing shackles. You start seeing doom and gloom. You start to see their spirit is sick, and they're dying. They're heading for doom. Lord, show them this so they can go out and be effective in your kingdom and restore the people that you want restored back onto you, Lord. Here's the thing. We've got to stop looking at the people. We've got to stop listening to people sometimes, too, with their human wisdom of how they're going to lead people to the Lord. It's not how much you know or how much you think you know. It's how much you love and how much you're going to be loving, okay? So here's the thing. Here's the thing. We need to know. We need to know. Do you love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength? Or is there any of that's missing? You're probably missing something. And God wants to show you something. He wants to show you the things. He wants to show you the things that he wants to show you. So here's the thing now. We need to know that God is good. This means that everyone who belongs to Christ and has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. There it is. Don't drag the money from the old life onto the new life. Okay, don't leave what's dead. Let it stay dead. The old man and the old woman dead. Let them be dead. Don't try to revive them. Don't think you're going to bring anything from your previous life, especially in the beginning, to your new life. If you're going to try to mix this wisdom of the world with the things of God, don't do that. That's what they call double-minded. Stay away from that. Just know that God wants to give you all everything. He doesn't want to renovate your old self. He doesn't want to no, he said all things are new. He's not trying to fix the broken you. He's giving you a new spirit and a new heart. Forget the old and concentrate on the new. Okay? Sometimes it's addition by subtraction. What is that, Eddie? What's addition by subtraction? Sometimes you got to stop doing the things you once done and subtract those old habits, sometimes those old friends, to add new things that God wants to give you. So that's what I'm saying. And look, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life is begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back onto himself through Christ. And God has given us the task or the mission of reconciling people back onto. God's given us the task and the mission, the ministry of reconciliation. Well, Eddie, that's a big word, reconciliation. What does it actually mean? All right, well, here's the thing. We need to know that reconciliation in English is to restore to friendship harmony, to make consistent, to account for. Okay, reconcile. So that blew my mind, to account for. God wants to reconcile us all back to him, and he wants to account us to account for his sheep. We want to restore the friendship back to him. He wants to make us consistent in loving him and being in fellowship with him. And then he wants to keep us accountable for reaching others. Oh, man. So here it is. In the Greek, it's kata. Is the group word, is the root word, kata, K-A-T-A, to reconcile, katalasso, all right? But in the Greek, it means in the original context, Paul wrote, return to favor, receive one's favor. So here it is. To reconcile people back onto God is to return to favor. We were in favor of God. We got lost. Now we're messed up. Lost. See, lost. L-O-S-T. Lost. We're lost. Until we receive Christ, and then we return back to favor. You know how critical this is in this world and time? All right, so here it is. If we receive the revelation with fullness, what Jesus really done for us. These are some of my notes, since I'm going to read them, they're too excited. Okay. At the cross, are we convinced what Jesus done for us at the cross? Well, here's the thing. First, Eddie, you say, oh, well, how do we do this? Well, I'm going to give you some, what I believe is practical things that we can do to improve on. Understand Jesus, know Jesus, and his will. You know, I mean, I spend a lot of time with Jesus. I do a lot of worship. I'm in my prayer closet without the lights on for hours at a time. Yeah, but the problem is, let me ask you this. Do you know his word? Because you may know Jesus, you may know God, but if you don't know his word, then you don't know his will. So that's where a lot of us struggle, and we don't know his will. Okay, so know God's will. He told in total order, like Paul in that morning. Here's what it says. Do you want to glorify God? Because with glorifying God, you can glorify God through your actions and through going around and telling people Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, so that's a sign of gratitude. So this is just a little practical advice from what I've received. If you truly know God is Lord and you believe Jesus Christ done what he done for you, then go out and tell somebody. Stop evaluating others by the flesh. Develop a spiritual understanding and a spiritual vision. And seeking souls, reconciling others onto God. Love to his creation. So know God is good. Okay, so here's what I want to cover. A kingdom divided will not stand. And here's the thing. We're separating. Why are we separating? Because we have an unrepentant heart. Okay? We're unrepentant. We didn't ask to be forgiven. We didn't ask for God to come back into our life. So those people that don't know the truth, we need to help them. The answer is get redeemed by Jesus Christ in the blood. So Jesus proclaims his kingdom to us, and he announces that he bound in Satan. So what are we doing about it? Are we going into the kingdom and plundering the goods? Because if you're not plundering the goods, what are you doing? Are you just sitting there and watching them from a distance and saying, someone else is going to get that. I don't need to get that. Because that's our mindset and our heart. And then what we're going on in our mind comes into our heart. Guess what? I'm going to tell you something. Thank the Lord. Don't wait for anything, okay? You better move while you can. And people's lives of eternity are at stake. We're in trouble. People are in trouble. We need to go out there, okay? We need to look after others. But Andy, I got so many problems. Well, guess what? God will tend to your situation as you're tending to others. I've been there. I've never lived a perfect life, and I never will. And I've always got things coming and going, up and down, and all this stuff. Stop getting involved in the emotional roller coaster, being led by your emotions. God gave us his emotions as a God. Okay. Stop, you know, just if God showed you something, just react and respond and pray. Stop following those emotions. God didn't tell you to follow. He said, follow my son, Jesus Christ. Also, we need to know that the spirit, fear. Why do you say, well, I'm afraid, Andy? Everyone's afraid at times. That's the spirit. Fear is not an emotion. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that comes upon and takes you away from doing the things God wants you to do. All of this is a free gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task to reconcile people onto him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world back to him. So guess what? Christ is in us reconciling the world back to God. Okay? Christ in us wants to reach out to somebody. Thank you for watching, Vlog Radio listeners. And if you don't know that Jesus loves you, you need to call on his name and find out more. Let him fill your heart with love. And love is what will compel you to go out and tell somebody, Jesus is Lord. For God was in Christ reconciling the world for himself. No longer people's sins are against them, but he gave this wonderful message of reconciliation. So now we are Christ's ambassadors. Christ is making his appeal through us. Christ is making his appeal through us. Christ didn't want to touch others. Let him. For God made Christ who never sinned an orphan for our sins, so we could be made right with God through Christ. Thank you for listening to Blog Radio. If you like what you hear, just share the message. Share the message. All right. We're going to close it down. I got excited. Here's the thing. I want you to be half as excited as I am about reaching out. And not just me, but the others that are doing it, the missions that goal to see just to reach the cerebral. That's just like that. All right, if you can't talk with your friends and your family, chances are you may have not even get a chance to talk to them. Don't be afraid, because that spirit of fear saying, oh, they're going to reject me, I'm going to sound like a fool. If you want to be a fool for anyone, you might as well be a fool for God, okay? Because I'll be a fool any day for God, you know, going to be someone great in this world who's not going to last. So look, we need to know that we have to understand our fearful responsibility. God calls me an ambassador. We're going to talk more about this next week. I assure you that. I don't know much, but then we're going to talk more about this next week. And I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that everyone listening, that Lord, you would touch upon them. That you would touch upon them, but not only that, you would touch upon them and you would touch upon others. You would touch upon others. You would reach out to others. Because that's what you want from us. You want us to reach others, Lord. You want us to reach others. But give us a spirit of boldness, which we become bold with the Spirit. Lord, allow us to only know the Holy Spirit, Lord, not to know any other spirit, but can't say that spirit not operating on us, Lord. This is not what you sent us for. This is not what you want from us. But Lord, help me be a better person. Lord, help me walk in your way, Lord. Lord, take anything from our hearts that doesn't belong, Lord. Allow us to be the true ambassadors, Lord, an ambassador for your kingdom, Lord. We are ambassadors. We thank you, Jesus Christ, in my name. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And help us and teach us and fill us with our children. We pray in all of you, like you, Jesus. All right. There'll be more about this next week. Tune in, tell a friend, or share the video. But more important than any of that I just said, share and tell whatever, share the video, tell a friend. Yeah, tell a friend. Tell a friend that Jesus Christ is Lord. Start there and see where God takes you from there. So I pray that everyone listening will be touched, but I also pray that everyone listening will go out and tell one person today. One person about Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for everything you're doing. If you like what you're seeing, just share it. Tune in tomorrow. The ladies will be on again. Marlo Mazzini, Laura Kelly, they'll do the winning position of the original Morning for the Mansion. So tune in, and I thank you for all that you've done, and I pray the Lord receive you, and thank you. Amen. I'm blowing up my phone. I'm trying to do a show. What's going on? Yeah. I told everyone 11:30. All right, no problem. Bobby might be there before me. All right, bye-bye.